Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories. We tell your embarrassing stories. You tell your embarrassing stories. It's embarrassing all around. We're here to bring laughter and levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How was your week, Katie?
Oh.
No, you do it.
You know what is funny is I did not even consider this part of the podcast the entire drive over.
I never, ever do.
I got stuck in crazy traffic. I was in my car for an hour and I did not even contemplate what to talk about.
That's
for
good.
This part.
I think it's good. We are on off the cuff. What is in our mind gets filtered somewhat and then comes right out. And it's just in the moment spontaneity.
So I guess we'll do a what you're watching. Did you see? Well, first of all, can we talk about, are you watching And Just Like That?
Yes, I am watching it.
I can't not so watch horrific. It. Everyone
terrible.
Knows it. It's everyone's hate watch.
It is. It, you know what?
How
you
did they make Aiden so insufferable? Like, it is awful.
It's
all of
awful.
It. It's horrific.
It's Seema with the gardener guy. I can't even deal
no
with
No one
her
cares
situation.
About the freaking show that's trying to be put on by what's her name?
Nobody.
And it's not. There's just so many plot lines that all suck.
But it's also like, what's this new vertigo take? Was it just so that she could fall on a wet condom?
Yes. Everyone's a bumbling idiot,
they
and that's just what it's become. It's like middle-aged bumbling idiots.
But
it's
they're rich,
so embarrassing.
Too. They're so rich, and so all their storylines are like, oh, this is my purse, and like, oh, I only have this kind of purse, and like, but I like your purse.
Yeah, it's like very out of touch
fraught.
With every single thing. But again, we all are watching it.
But I can't
You're
stop.
We all hate watching it.
And I want her to hook up with a little neighbor downstairs.
Obviously, that's going to happen. Everybody's rooting for that. That's the only attractive man on the entire show.
Get his heart broken again.
Everyone, sweetheart. I mean, but he,
he's
well,
awkward.
We won't break any,
I'm going to, this is my hot take about Aiden.
Don't give anything
he's
away.
He's always been awkward.
He has, but he had such a cute charm before, and now he's just mortifying to watch. Like, I thought he was cute before and charming, and like he was goofy, but like now he's like, oh my God, he's so cringy.
What don't you
it's
like?
So
about
bad.
Him. Just tell me one thing.
The truck scene is all any of us need to say. Like, I think that was the third episode. The truck scene is so vile. Like, it's absolutely horrific. It is the most unsexy thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's so true. That's the thing, though, that I think it's not for us. It's for people who are older than us. People who are in their 60s.
People who are 95?
No,
like,
60s.
Who are almost like, dead like, and are like, I guess there's gonna some action. Like, I don't know, because that is, it is the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Who is it for? It's for no one. Everyone hated it. There's not one person that saw that and was like,
the
yeah,
worst
that's hot.
Is the Cynthia Nixon situation.
And her,
just
too.
Her walking naked. Sorry, spoiler alert. Just walking naked.
The like silver romper that looked like a onesie that was just so bad for the birthday. Anyway, okay.
Okay,
forget
so
it. Forget
we're doing
it.
Forget it. We're
that
doing
was it.
It.
There is a new Always Sunny out, too. Did you know that?
I did not. I never watched that.
You never watched Always Sunny?
You know why? Honestly, strictly because I was just so jealous that they were so awesome.
Danny DeVito.
Can't
I can't
even do it because they killed it. I mean, everyone loves that.
They
everyone
still make me
it.
Laugh. Sweet D is my fave, and
Sweet
she's
D.
so funny, and she still makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Like, they're so over-the-top ridiculous, and they've still got it, so
they
keep it going.
Okay,
you know?
Awesome. Yeah.
How was your week? What are
okay,
you doing?
Okay, only thing I can
watching?
Say is I cut my own bangs and I ate a donut every day for a week because I went to a little village, a little town off of Lake Erie that shall remain nameless, and it's got putt-putt. It has got shuffleboard. It has got a pool. It has got a
That's
splash
a dream.
Pad. It's got cabins that are like Victorian little cabins.
Oh my,
my
gosh.
Mom lives in
we
one
have
of
to
them.
Go.
Oh, it's so.
Your mom lives in a Victorian cabin?
My great-grandparents met in this town. My great-grandparents, okay?
I love that.
And I was with Elliot, I was with John, and we just like a donut a day.
What kind of donuts?
They're cake donuts. So they're made there and they're
so
famous.
Good.
And the whole town smells like donuts in the morning. It's like
what?
Out of a
it's
yes,
a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale.
I
and
love
I
it.
I just, yeah, I love it too. And then I'm just like at the splash pad getting splash. And then I'm at the pool with my son's like, you know, in a floaty, but just swimming away from me. And I'm going down a slide with other kids. Like I disappeared for a week, but yeah, I'm on the one a day donut diet. It's great.
That is
I,
an
I
excellent
it.
Diet. I mean, that's a recipe
no
for bones. Happiness right there.
That is. It really is. It
right?
Fun. Right.
Okay. Do you want me to start?
Yes, I do.
Okay. My first story comes from Jordan, and she writes, picture this, divorced single mom dating the literal love of my life. He's hot. He's successful. He loves my kids. Life is good.
That's lovely.
And that's the end of the story.
That's it. I pictured it. I picture it for you.
We are several months into dating when his parents plan a weekend visit from Florida. It happens to be a weekend where my sons are with their dad, so I pack my bag to stay the weekend and really get to know everyone. Oh, that first week meeting everyone, that is stressful.
I can't even, especially if they all come as a package, you know? There's no one else for you.
We plan to really show them the best our area has to offer. So Saturday morning is breakfast and a drive into the mountains. I wake up with a mild headache, but I pop a goodies powder and move on. About halfway up this curvy mountain road, the pancakes I devoured at breakfast make their way into my throat.
Get out of here.
By the time we get to the top, my nausea is at a 10. And I know you have, girl.
You have been there in my car a million times.
You poor thing.
Like multiple cars. Okay, go on.
You poor thing. And I feel like there's an ice pick in my brain. I'm sure it's just a combo of car sick and migraine. I take another goodies powder, even though I'm not due for another one for hours. As a veteran mom, I know hard candy is a great anti-nausea trick, but all I can find is cough drops. I put three in my mouth and suck them like my rent is due.
There we go. Damn.
At this point, my boyfriend's mom, who up until this point has quietly watched me slam multiple goodies powders and frantically dig into my purse and house cough drop after cough drop, asks me if I feel a cough coming on.
Oh, no.
Just a tickle, I smile, because I would rather die than admit that I don't feel well. I don't want to ruin this visit, and I don't want any extra attention. At the bottom of the mountain, I consider snorting goodies powder. Would it work faster that way?
She's going to inject it between her toes.
Instead, I swallow my third and pray for a swift death. Somehow, I make it home, still denying anything is wrong. After a lay-down shower where I wonder if this is it for me and a tiny power nap, I wake up feeling somewhat better. Not 100%, but good enough that I think I can make it through drinks and dinner. I laugh off the concern coming from every direction and insist I'm feeling fine. I'll be just fine for dinner.
Famous last words.
This is his parents. She is meeting them for the first time. She feels like absolute shit. That is the worst case scenario.
That's worst case scenario. And also nauseous is the worst case
scenario. And they're watching
scenario.
Her just take all these pills and be like out of her mind. Like, yeah. It's pretty funny.
They're like, she's got some kind of oral fixation.
She has a problem.
Or...
Okay. But on the way to drinks, it all comes back. I sip at a drink, trying to pretend everything is fine. At dinner, I order a salad, which gets me a look from my boyfriend. I'm a foodie, an adventurous eater, not one to order a side house salad for dinner. I'm so focused on not puking that I miss the part where my father-in-law ordered an appetizer for the table. I, however, do not miss it when the waitress sits a board of liver pate and bread down on the table.
Is this girl pregnant? Did she get pregnant?
My eyes get big. My mouth starts sweating.
No.
I see my boyfriend smear pink goo onto a slice of bread, and that's it. I'm done. I Spartan kick him straight out of the booth. He nearly hits the ground, and I don't see because I'm sprinting, not for the bathroom, but for the door. Everyone is staring at me. I'm running hand over my mouth.
Love it.
I make it just past the restaurant's front window, a small mercy, into the parking lot before I blow chunks. I puke the entire way to the car. After he...
Oh, my God. I can picture that, and I feel so bad for her.
It's horrific. After my boyfriend recovers from my foot in his chest, he comes out armed with to-go boxes and his parents trailing behind, following my trail of vomit to the car.
She left a trail, and they're just like, oh, God.
She left a trail.
Yeah.
His way too tall for the backseat dad insists that I take the front, and we head home, making a stop at the drugstore for some Dramamine. If you think the humiliation is over, think again. In my desperation to feel better, I take double the amount of anti-nausea meds, and I end up face pressed against the window, visibly drooling before we get home.
She's just out. She's like, it's just a poor thing.
I feel so bad for her.
She takes too much.
It's horrible.
It comes from a good place. Yeah, that's awful.
This is your first impression. This is all they've seen of you. They haven't seen any good of you. They've seen you being a drooling medication taking, like, sweaty,
yeah, like candy popping,
pale faced mess. That's all they've seen for 2 days or one day, I guess. It's been one day. It's horrible.
That's horrible.
I have to practically be carried in and put to bed. I don't wake up for a solid 12 hours.
Does she have food poisoning?
We eat a quiet breakfast the next day and they head off for the airport. You're going to find out.
I'm sure it's a very quiet breakfast.
Yeah, a quiet breakfast after you've been asleep for 12 hours and they're leaving. So that was your time with them.
You missed the entire time.
Your entire time with them.
First impression.
So sick. That's about the time I notice all of these little red dots all over my hands and feet. You see, my youngest son had been feeling a little poorly earlier in the week and had been diagnosed with hand, foot, and mouth.
Oh, God.
If you're a parent, you know that stuff spreads like wildfire. But my pediatrician had vehemently reassured me that adults almost never get hand, foot, and mouth because they likely had it when they were kids. Guess what? Not me.
No.
We've been together for years now and have a daughter plus my two sons. His parents were so sweet about it and swear they loved me from the start. But I did get my mother-in-law to recently admit that at first she thought I was a little out there. But that Travis was so happy that they didn't even care. We laugh about it now. Mortifying at the time, though. This happened in my son's first year of school, and it was the sickest sick season we've ever experienced.
Oh, God. That's going to happen. My son's going to school next year.
Oh, no. Wait, it does. So as soon as they start going to school, they freaking get sick.
Do you get, like, sores on your hand?
No, they're not sores. They're, like, little tiny dots, like little red dots that pop up.
It's like a little rash. Feet?
I'm pretty sure Sebastian did have that at, like,
God, did you get it?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I gave my whole family chicken pox.
He got roseola. They get all this crazy stuff.
Roseola.
When they start going to school.
Elliot has had that.
He started, three and a half. When they start going to school, they're sick all the time. And that's just the way it is. And
that's
you just get used to it. I know it's unfortunate.
I can't
But there's
wait.
So many kids and they're all wiping their little snotty noses on all the same toys. And that's just the way
it goes. That's just the way it goes.
That's just the way it is, baby.
Okay, all right. Well, this one's from Neil in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and he writes, I was a therapist for 2 years, and I'm not happy to admit that I embarrassed myself a lot during that time. In the beginning of my career, I experienced some burnout. I'd sometimes zone out when a client was talking. Not a good start, know what I mean? Doesn't make that a good therapist. I know that's unprofessional, but some clients ramble on and on, repeating themselves, and it took time to train my brain to focus without interruption. There was also the trouble of mixing up clients' problems with my other clients.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
Wait, but doesn't that why notes? They, like, write everything down?
Yeah.
So did he say he wasn't taking notes? Or he just
No,
doesn't
I'm
say?
Sure he just mix up the notes. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, so tell me more about your brother. She's like, my brother died like 10 years ago. Thanks.
Yeah, like, she's like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It doesn't make you feel good as a patient.
It's awful. Can you imagine? I mean, also like,
but also
dude,
I could never
focus.
Do that. Yeah.
I could never do that either. It's like, you're doing the Lord's work. It is unprofessional, but it took me a long time to learn how to properly take and store notes. There we go. Once I asked a client how things were going with her new boyfriend, only to realize that I was speaking to a woman who was in the middle of a divorce.
Mm.
It's horrible. The thing that got me in a lot of trouble was something I began during the pandemic. Once, totally by accident, in the early days of Zoom therapy, I forgot to turn my camera on. My client didn't mention it, so I decided to start accidentally turning my camera off to catch up on some chores. This guy sucks.
Wait, he said he forgot to turn his camera on? Is he videoing his clients?
It's Zoom.
Oh,
so
it's a Zoom.
Zoom.
Oh, okay. I was so confused. I was like, wait, what?
His client showed up and there was nothing.
He was like black screen.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Which if I'm seeing that, I'm like, hello, dude. Like, you got to turn on your, what are you doing?
Yeah,
what's
that's
happening?
Weird.
So anyway, this guy didn't say anything. And so he just started turning it off to catch up on chores, which is not good. Most clients didn't ask me to turn it on. And so I did a lot while helping them. I found my focus sharper if there was a wall to paint or a really hard crossword puzzle to do. But while listening to clients. Yeah, right. I know this will inspire some eye rolling, but being productive while in sessions made me a better therapist.
That's what you do when you're listening to podcasts like me.
You gotta get fired.
I get productive with podcasts. I don't get productive. Yeah. Trying to help a friend that you're like, yeah.
And what if you miss something? What if they're like, I want to end it all. And you're like,
I know.
Like painting your wall.
They're like, yeah, you probably should. That's probably a good idea.
And oh, no. Yeah, exactly. I will always swear by that, even though I'm no longer working in the field. You're not?
What happened?
Okay. Once, when I thought my camera was off, I got up from my desk and began tackling the enormous pile of laundry sitting on my bed. I'd become brazen by then, and the pile was completely visible to the camera. I began folding, and my client was suddenly silent. I kept folding, thinking the pause was a self-soothing technique or a moment to sip some water, when I heard him say, Jesus Christ, are you folding your laundry? I snapped a look at the camera and saw that my camera was on and me folding laundry in boxer shorts was visible. That's so embarrassing.
Oh,
that's
my God.
You see your therapist get up and then you see that he's in boxer shorts, which happened all the time during the pandemic. Then you see him go start to fold laundry while you're talking about what you're
I would be livid. You're paying that person.
You're paying? No.
I would be so pissed.
I'm paying for this, he said. I felt terrible, but at least he and I had only had a few sessions. I told him as much when he said he'd be firing me. This guy has got some to change professions.
But how funny was his face when he realized he was busted? That was on video, like him flipping around to be like, oh shit.
That was his psychologist ID picture. He just said, I learned a valuable lesson that day and I still cringe when I think about it. I mean, that guy's the worst therapist ever.
As you should.
Can you imagine? People show up to your door and they're vulnerable and they're opening up and they're being brave and you're just like going to paint your wall and do a crossword with the camera off?
That buddy, you were not cut out for that, buddy.
You better be working somewhere else.
Okay.
Stock boy. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Okay. My next story is anonymous and she writes, I was having a quiet night in with my mom, and we were watching a movie at home. I made one of my favorite snacks, popcorn and chocolate chips.
Yum!
Best movie snack. I was absentmindedly eating handfuls, and spotted out of the corner of my eye, I dropped a chocolate chip on my shirt. Not wanting it to melt and stain my shirt, I quickly grabbed it and popped it in my mouth and started chewing. I instantly realized it was not, in fact, a chocolate chip. I started crying and screaming and ran to the bathroom to spit it up and brush my teeth as my mom simultaneously gagged and cried from laughter.
What fell on her shirt?
You see, we have 3 Pomeranians and they all love to lay on my chest. They have long fur and often get dingleberries that have to be cleaned.
Oh, God.
I literally ate shit as I was watching a movie.
That is amazing. That's a perfect story.
I love that her mom is just gagging and cry laughing.
And she just picks up a dingleberry.
She ate a dingleberry that she thought was a chocolate chip.
And then gagged. Oh, I don't know what I would do if I ate actual poop.
I mean, right away, that's not a chocolate chip.
That's not a chocolate chip.
Thankfully, she didn't shovel like a handful of popcorn with it because she could have missed popcorn kernel tasted off. It was a little dirty.
Would you rather not know? If you eat spiders, which apparently we all do, would you rather know how many you eat a year not know at all?
No.
Never even
And we've all gotten a bug. I've definitely eaten a fly before.
So did it fly when in I was your a mouth
kid.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it flew into my mouth. So disgusting.
Well, that is something the Midwest has to offer is if you're on your bike at twilight, you're going to run it. You're going to face first into a bunch of mosquitoes and eat them. Mm, eat a lot of them.
Protein.
So, move to the Midwest, y'all.
Yeah, there's also lots of those on the East Coast. So
really? Well, you're about to experience the good stuff.
I have experienced it for many years, so get to experience it again.
Yep, now, my son. Covered cicadas?
We'll get to I love cicadas. My brother and you look at your face.
You ate them?
I love them. No, I don't eat them. The sound of them. But they leave the little brown shells. And my sister and brother and I would when we were kids, go chase each other around and hook them onto our shirts. And,
yes, they're so cool. So I feel like cicadas and lightning bugs are no longer around.
Oh, no, we have them. There's tons
you
of
do?
Them.
And
There's
lightning bugs?
Tons of fireflies. Yeah, they're all over my parents' yard, our yard. They're so pretty.
It's so exciting.
I miss the fireflies. Yeah, there's no fireflies here. So
no, I don't know what's going on. I don't think there ever were. Let's be real.
Here in this in LA, no.
No.
There are some apparently in areas of California, but not LA. But yeah, I'm excited to see the fireflies
again. It's
going to
be so great.
And I love the cicadas.
You're going right into it, primo season.
Diving in.
Okay. This is from Sarah from Sandusky, Ohio, and she writes, it was the 1960s and henna had become really popular. One summer, I dyed my hair, threw on my bathing suit, and headed to the dock by the lake like any old day. I was wearing my hair in a pixie, and it still took a long time to blow dry to where it was perfect. I was used to sauntering down to the dock and turning heads as I did, but today my whole look was getting a lot of attention.
Ooh.
Ah. I was in with a cool crowd, and my crush was on the beach that day. We were magnetically drawn to each other, and I knew I looked good, so flirting came easy for me. I love it. I love this. That's the end of the story.
That's it.
The
confidence.
Thanks.
The
confidence. The
boldness. You had
it. The hair.
It.
The henna
dye. You were there.
Hair.
You looked hot.
You see your guy.
You knew.
You know he's looking at you when you're looking away.
I got this.
I got this.
Then she farted.
I'll never forget that my bathing suit was a cute lime green bikini. Green with some henna dye. Yes. Very 60s.
Oh, wait. The henna dye was in her hair?
Yeah, she dyed her hair.
Oh, I was thinking henna, like henna tattoos.
She dyed her hair with the henna. Because that was a huge thing. In the 60s, it's still a huge thing. It just turns your hair like a beautiful red. It's natural dye.
Oh, okay, okay.
Have you seen it?
I don't think
huge
so.
Huge in the early 90s.
Yeah, because all I can think with henna is like henna tattoos. But I know the color of a henna tattoo. It's like a rusty color. So like
Claire Danes in that show she did. What was it?
With
My So-Called Life.
With Jordan Catalano.
Yep. Canceled. Yes. Her hair, that's the color of henna, basically.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So she's wearing a cute bathing suit. She's looking around. She's flirting with her boyfriend. All of a sudden, my little brother came out of nowhere and pushed me into the lake. The water was cold and I was so angry. When I surfaced, all of the faces on the dock looked on at me, horrified. I couldn't figure out why until I saw the red henna dye floating all around me.
Oh, no.
I made a beeline for the ladder and pulled myself up to the dock. Looking down, I saw red stains all over my beautiful bathing suit. So the dye just ran.
And it looked like blood in
it
the water.
Like blood, like she got so.
Her period.
She got her period on her face and all over her bathing suit.
Aww.
Yeah, so the dye was running down my face. I looked like I'd bashed my head on the bottom of the lake. I was so embarrassed. I made a dash for home as soon as I could. I mean, I looked that up. That happened all the time. That if you washed your hair too soon, you have to wait to wash your hair after henna dyeing it for 2 or 3 days.
That's so sad.
So if you jump in the lake or get pushed in the lake, rather, it's going to leak everywhere.
It got ruined.
And her boyfriend probably flirted with someone else after she left.
That was that. You went from hot to not. That's
just imagine your little pixie cut flat on your forehead with red streaming down your
That's
face.
Always the way it is, though. You know, when you're confident and you're feeling good, you start strutting your stuff and then you just eat it. Like, that's me. Like,
well,
every
what if
time.
She
had
me,
it's
too.
Like, just take it down. Take it down a notch. Just don't be so confident.
Don't act like you have any confidence. That's our advice.
Yeah. Just walk around like a boiled shrimp with your shoulders slumped and you're going to be the hottest thing ever. Okay?
Boiled shrimp.
Got a boiled shrimp it.
Boiled shrimp it.
My next story comes from Quora, and Roy the Boy writes.
Roy the Boy.
Long story, but I used to skip gym class because I was behind in puberty and I had no pubic hair and a small penis.
Okay.
I was like, oh.
Did you need to go that last detail?
Poor buddy. Roy the Boy? He does. Okay. Just wait. It sucks, but that's just how it was. I skipped class, so the PE coach called my mom, who took me to the doctor because my mom is a hypochondriac freak. And the pediatrician even asked me if I wanted my mom there, and I'm stupid enough to say it was okay.
Oh, God.
Because I'm not really positive what's going to happen. And when I said okay, she just pulled down my pants.
Okay, wait.
This poor kid.
She said to this kid, do you want your mom here? And he's like, sure. And she yanks his pants down?
Yes.
In front of his mom, no prep, nothing.
Yes.
Why did he say it was okay for his mom to be there?
He's
not
12.
Good.
I'm like, oh my God.
Also, this is insult to injury, okay?
This is horrible.
Going to the doctor because you haven't gone through puberty yet? That's
this
just like ridiculous.
Poor kid is 12 and
it's
it
gonna
is
happen,
horrific.
Boy, the boy, it's going to happen.
The pediatrician, which is okay, I guess. Her nurse, which I wish wasn't so young, but okay. And my good old mom all gather around to look at my undersized penis.
What did you say?
This is a horror movie.
I got to bring my son in because I think he has like something wrong with
yes,
him?
Yes. My 12th year was beyond wonderful, except for that 5 terrible minutes. And then my mom asks a never-ending stream of questions about my penis as she's looking at it and pointing at it.
What?
The pediatrician showed my mom that I have some pubic hair growing and that my balls are small, but not unlike a 10-year-old, and I would eventually catch up.
I hate this.
I'm 12.
I hate this.
I looked at, so I can see where they sort of ignored that I was 12, pushing 13, and embarrassed out of my mind.
I hate this.
That was my most embarrassing moment.
Do you know what I say at the end of that? I say, Mom, I'm walking home. And you know what? When I get there, I want my suitcases packed. I'm moving out.
But how freaking sad and scary.
She's
and
like,
horrible.
He's got one pubic hair.
Like, imagine if you're a girl and you have no little boobies and they're like,
I mean, I don't
and
have to
your
imagine.
Mom like rips your shirt off and is like pointing at your boobs and she's like, why are they so small? And the doctor's like, well, they're, you know, kind of growing
That's
in.
Awful.
And this poor kid had, and he knew he had a little penis and he was already embarrassed because he hadn't gone through puberty and like he already didn't want to change for PE. And now he's in the doctor's office with his mom.
That poor kid,
like traumatized. But he said the rest of his 12th year was okay.
Good.
But I mean, yeah.
So hard.
That is one that would stay with you for the rest of your life.
I just hate it. Poor babies. Hate watching kids on the playground, like in a camp, and there's one kid that's like not playing with many people. And you know, I mean, obviously his life is probably amazing, who knows, but like you're just like, oh, I want to hug you and play. I'll be your playmate. That's even worse to say. But I just mean like I want everyone to have friends and be happy.
I know. So, and he probably did have friends, but it's just like an insecurity that got super highlighted at that moment.
You know, I can relate to that. I had a hyperactive thyroid and I looked like Paul from The Wonder Years, which is dating me as a reference, but I didn't have any action going until I was like, and got Gilbert Grape.
I would have been your best friend back then, too. We would have had the most epic slumber parties. We've already talked about this.
We would have.
It would have been the most fun. We would have laughed our asses off and had the best time.
I feel like we're doing that now, though. Mm-hmm. Making up for time. Oh, that's a good one.
We sure are.
And that's so sad, too. God.
I know. That one breaks my heart. I know. I was like, woof, woof. That's a rough one.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, all right. This one's from David Baldwin on Quora. And he writes, I had a massive crush on a girl. No surprise there. Weird thing to say. I had danced with her. We both danced salsa. I had laughed with her. I had talked with her. And gosh darn it, I wanted to date her. After a few failed attempts, a female friend suggested that I just ask her what she thought of me. It would be a quick way to honestly find out what was going on and why she always said she was busy.
Aw, buddy, didn't take the
hint.
Oh,
man, after the third busy, you got to be like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
If somebody's into you, they will let you know, okay? You guys, that goes both ways. If someone's into you, you're not going to have to question it.
You're not going to have to question it.
If it's a guy, he's going to break down the door for you.
Can I throw this in here? They went salsa dancing. They've danced salsa together. That's pretty intimate.
Yeah, but she's busy. She's been busy three times.
She's busy, and she's getting busy doing salsa, too. So busy. Maybe some mixed messages.
Okay.
So I got up the courage and asked her, what do you think of me? I don't, she said.
Oof. That's
wow,
rough.
Did I feel insignificant, is what he said. Ouch. I mean, ouch.
Yeah.
Well, then what's all this salsa? That's what I say. What do you say?
Salsa. What's all the salsa? Salsa. Salsa.
What's all the salsa? What do you say if someone's like, I don't think about you, but you have a crush on me?
Well, fuck you then. That's what I would say. Goodbye. Fuck off. You'll never hear from me again. But I would never say that. I'm way too prideful to be like, oh, what do you think of me? I'd be like, no.
More
like, I'm not
going to
chase you down.
Today?
Like, mm-hmm. Either you're into it or you're not. I know my worth. Okay.
Yes.
So eat a dick.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
So if you're okay, great. You answered my question.
That's it.
I think
Period.
It's good. That's our advice to you.
Okay.
You say eat a dick.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know my worth.
If that man is not chasing down your door to be with mm-hmm. you, I've told so many women this, but it is true. Like if he is just it is true sometimes he's just not that into you. Like
it's
because
true.
If someone's into you, you absolutely know they will make time for you. They will call you, they will text you. There are no excuses of I was too busy with work or whatever, because mm-hmm. you will be on their mind 24/7. And if you're not, goodbye.
Yeah. Okay. Goodbye. They're not talking to their mom at 11:30 at night.
This is now a dating podcast.
We are Beat Red, the dating podcast. So we give great advice.
Yes. And tell us your embarrassing date stories too, because
you just walk around like a boiled shrimp.
Exactly. We're giving you the hot tips here. Like, I don't know what you guys are taking from this, but there's a lot of hot tips.
There's a lot of power in a boiled shrimp posture.
Yeah, there is.
Go on.
Like, you own it. You own that shit.
Own the curve. Okay, go on.
Okay, my last story is from Quora, and Christina Lengkatoy writes.
You nailed that.
I don't know, and I'm sorry if I didn't say it right, but that's how I'm going to go with it.
Okay, go.
Okay. I was just 15 years old. I went to a convenience store to buy some snacks. When I reached the cashier, there were about 8 people behind me waiting in line. As I was paying, my eyes went to this fancy and cute-looking small box. It has a picture of fruit on it and was very bright. I was curious. I picked it up from the shelf, thinking it was candy or chewing gum, and I put it on the cashier. Then the clerk looked at me, shocked. I looked at him back in confusion. The clerk, how old are you? Me, 15. Why? Clerk, are you sure you want to buy that? Lifting the box up. Apparently the people behind me saw the box too and now began to giggle like hell. I was thinking, what the hell? Me, yeah, I'm sure. Clerk, Are you really sure?
Is this guy buying condoms?
Me. Yes. Am I not allowed to buy some candy? Then everyone burst out laughing. I just stood there questioning the situation. What the actual fudge cake is happening?
Love
it's a
it.
She. It's oh, a she. It's a girl, Christina, okay. I think, right? Yeah. She's 15. But maybe she looks young, too.
She's buying, like, a diaphragm from the 1950s.
I just stood there questioning the situation. What the actual fudge cake is happening? Clerk, please read the description on the box carefully, handing it back to me while giggling.
This clerk.
What is wrong with them? Seriously, I thought. This is just a strawberry-flavored condom?
I knew it.
I freaked the hell out. Upon my expression, everyone laughed at me again. I quickly put the box back on the shelf and quickly asked the clerk to process my payment. I left the store looking red as a tomato.
Oh.
Moral lesson, always read the description.
Beet red. But don't you have to go to the condom section to buy condoms?
No, it's at the gas station or something. So they're like by the counter.
So she just read strawberry flavored and I was like, oh, that looks like
she
a lifesaver.
She saw a cute little box, yeah, and was like, ooh, strawberry
advertisers,
candy.
We're talking to you. Let's show like a condom with like semen in it on the front.
I know, but it is true. Like they do market everything. I know for kids, like we have this like.
You just okayed that idea.
No. I'm saying it's horrible how they market everything for kids. No, like we have by our house this bubblegum dispensary that's like a weed shop. And my son's always like, I want to go to the bubblegum dispensary. And I'm like, that's not what that is.
Is it gum, like weed gum?
No, it's just weed, but it's just called bubblegum dispensary. And it
so
has
annoying.
A big picture of like bubblegum and like bubblegum letters. And like, it's just very, yeah.
That's
they.
So
I know. It's like not cool. They're marketing.
Not cool. No, I don't like it. Also, you know what else I don't like about that story? The cashier should be like, honey, I don't think you read this. Just give it to me. Go back. You can cut the line when you get some more candy. I don't think
But
you
also,
go
I have
further.
To say, like 15, like people are having sex. So he also maybe
That's
should
true.
Have just been like, if you're buying that, you're buying that and not said anything and just like rang it up and let her go and she would figure it out. But like people do have sex at 15.
Well,
so she could
cashier,
have been responsible. You know,
I didn't have sex while I was 22 if I'm a cashier. So I don't even think that they're going to do that.
If I'm a cashier, I'm not going to tell you when I did. Okay.
Well, I just outed myself. I was in love with Aladdin, okay? Let's keep digging.
We're not
going to
talk about when I did, but I was young, okay? I was young.
Oh, my God. I do love that she said, aren't I allowed to have some candy? Like, because it's flavored. So people thought, like, oh,
sweet baby.
All right. Okay, well, my last story is from Quora as well. And Harold Pogue writes, back in the day, there was a video called KidSafe. We showed our four-year-old daughter. It discusses strangers and how kids can prevent abduction by speaking up. I was in a hurry and ran into a department store with my four-year-old pigtailed daughter. She wanted to see the My Little Ponies in the toy section and threw a tantrum when I said I didn't have the time. Now, just a note, normally I was a suit and tie guy, but I was working on my car, so I was dirty, torn t-shirt and jeans and unshaven. I'm a big guy, 6'3", 250 pounds, and somewhat muscular. I grabbed my screaming kid in her cute pink outfit and threw her over my shoulder to go back to the car. Not a good idea, but I'm sure familiar to some other parents. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah,
has
we've all had to leave the park
the time.
Crying and screaming.
And like hitting.
Yeah.
Like, taking my glasses and throwing them
picking
and I can't
him
see
up,
anything.
Like tantrum city.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've left a ton of stores and parks and places
awful.
Like that.
Same.
The grocery store,
oh
like
God.
Whatever.
The parks, grocery store,
yeah,
classes.
Mirage would get so embarrassed. And I was like, whatever. Like you reach a point where you just lose your pride completely
yeah.
and like embarrassment. I did. Mirage never did. He always would get so mortified when he would start tantruming like in public. And I was like, whatever. Like I would just pick him up and be like, hey, we're going.
Yeah.
Like, that's
not... Picking them up is so hard too. Cause it's like they're moving all over the place and then you're just like afraid you're gonna hurt them.
Little wiggle
like,
worms.
Oh God, Elliot is so strong. Anyway, she started screaming, not my daddy, and I'm being stolen as instructed from the video. And which is why would she do that? It's her dad. Why'd she do it?
Because she just watched
she
it. She's like,
she
this
wanted.
Is going to work. I'm going to get what I want.
Yeah,
I'm going to manipulate the situation right now.
Ugh. I got near the exit door and was confronted by security guards in force.
Oh, my God.
We were taken to the security office through the store with a screaming child, attracting quite a crowd. She kept screaming as he's walking away, where my daughter was even more scared being separated from me in cuffs. They put him in cuffs.
That is crazy.
That's crazy. I had a recent picture of her in my wallet, but they said I may have been stalking her. That's mortifying. You're like,
they're like, you
daughter.
Are a creep, a yes. full-on creep.
Oh, and she's by herself.
They're like, shut up, Pito. Get in the back. He's like, it's my daughter, I
swear. I wonder if she's like screaming daddy. They were calling the police while checking for any missing child reports in the mall. They called my wife, who was thankfully back home to answer before cell phones, and she was able to confirm my identity, fatherhood, and describe my daughter, and we were eventually released. My daughter and I had a long talk about tantrums. So, yeah, that's
Dang.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts.
They don't know the danger, I guess, of just, I guess she told like a little white lie or something. She just thought she would get what she wanted, but then he, next thing she knows, she saw her dad get cuffed.
Kids, like man. Kids.
Those damn kids.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them. See you next week.